Okay. The sheets are floating around if people want them. This Shabbos, Bez Hashem, we're going to read Parshas Shlach, and Parshas Shlach is the best known for the narrative portion of the Sedgers, who pointed out many times in the past. The first half of the story is the ill-fated mission of the Meraglim, 10 of whom brought back the negative report, and one thing led to another, and this generation was told that they would not, in fact, ever enter into Eretz Yisrael. And that's the first part of the Sedgers, the famous part of the Sedgers. The second part of the Sedgers contains various different mitzvahs, one of which relates to Avodah Zarah. Torah says in the first source, Bamidbar Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chof Beis, V'chisishku v'lo sasus kol mit ha-mitzus ha-el asher dibra Hashem Moshe, eis kol asher atzava, asher tzivu Hashem elokeichem v'yad Moshe, v'neom asher tzivu Hashem v'hol l'doro seichem. If somebody makes an error and unintentionally violates, doesn't say what mitzvah, it says, es kol ha-mitzus ha-elu, okay, without specifying what it is that we're talking about, so it's a little bit unclear what the pasuk is driving at in terms of the pshuto shel mikra, okay? But in general, it's talking about the kapara, the karbonis is brought for public, unintentional avodah zarah. Okay, that's the idea. People misunderstood something, they worshipped avodah zarah in public, so it's hard to describe what's supposed to be happening. But it doesn't mention avodah zarah or avodah zarah by name. It just says, es kol ha-mitzvos ha'eila. So Rashi says in source number two, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chav Bei, Zechisish Kvalo Sasu, Avodah Zarah Harisa Bechal Kalamitu Sat Tzibur Vein Alayim Par. Avodah Zarah is like any other Aveira at first glance for which the Tzibur, if they unintentionally violate, bring a certain carbon. But here, Vare Kosim Otsia Kamen Chalon Lidon Bepar La Ola Vesiu Lachatav. So Avodah Zarah has a different set of carbonates that are brought in case of unintentional transgression. Okay? Clearly, what does Rashi assume? We're talking about Avodah Zarah. And indeed, the next Rashi, v'chisish gub avodah zarah kosum medaber. That's what it's talking about. I o eno ela abachas we call a mitzvah. Maybe it means a different one of the mitzvahs. Okay, not avodah zarah. The Talmud Lomar es kol a mitzvah sa'ela mitzvah achas shehi kichol a mitzvahs. Ma over al kol a mitzvahs parik ol u'mefer bris megalaponim af mitzvah zu parik ba ol u'mefer bris megalaponim ve'ezu avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is the one mitzvah that's sort of like stands against all the other mitzvahs. If you believe in it, if you worship avodah zarah, it's like, you know, you don't really believe in anything. Asher Dibar Shalom Moshe says, Rashi, Anochi V'lo Yechem Mipi HaGvur Shmanum. Right? This is what the people heard directly from Hashem of Avodah Zarah, first of the two Dibros. I'm Hashem and don't have any other gods. And then it says, Chav Gimel Esak Akosher Tziva Magid Shekol HaModev Avodah Zarah Kekof B'chol HaTorah Kulam. Somebody who acknowledges Avodah Zarah doesn't really, now let's say a person does an Aveira, eats non-kosher or something like that. Okay, it's bad, but it doesn't mean he doesn't believe in the whole system. Right, he believes in the system, but you know, he transgressed something. But if you worship Avodah Zarah, then there's no basis for anything else. Right? If you don't believe in God, or you believe in multiple gods, you don't believe in our whole system, the basis of the whole system. So then there's nothing to talk about. Everything's out.
Did you get huh?
What's that? So again, it's a Tarsh Bar Pet. It doesn't say. Well, it just says because it says es kol hamitzvah se'ela. The kol hamitzvah se'ela is understood to one mitzvah, which sort of like relates to all the mitzvahs. Right, but we know from elsewhere in the Torah, there's one general carbon that's brought for unintentional public transgression of other mitzvahs, and this one is an exception. Which one is this that's the exception? The one that is sort of compared to all the other mitzvahs put together. That's the idea. Okay, that's the Gemara. Rashi didn't make this up. That's the Gemara in Horius, Chesem and Aleph. The Kula Amiyas, everybody admits, Ki Ksiva, Hanikra, but what is Kacham Hu Diksivi? These psukim are talking about idolatry. My mashma, how do we know? This is your question. The Gemara asked that question. Hori Tafchaz asked you, how do we know so much about a Zara? Amar Rav Aviv, Tamar Shu and Levi, Ravel Kedi, as different people say, Amar Kra, the Chisishku Velo Sasu, as Kol HaMitzah Seila. Ezu Hi Mitzah Sheishkua Kechol HaMitzah. What one mitzah is foundational, in a sense, or compared to all the other mitzahs together? Have you always done what is Kacham? That's idolatry. That's a Zara. Rashi explains, like Rashi said in the Chumash, whoever acknowledges the Avodah Zarah, then you opt out of the whole system. If I believe in God, I do mitzvahs, but we're shot in this. I do another way. It's not good, but it doesn't mean that I'm rejecting the whole system. Right? There's a Tosefta in Bechoris, Paragim Alacha, Source 5, Chashal Avodah Zarah, Chashal Kol Mitzvah Shiva Torah. If somebody's suspected for a violation of Avodah Zarah, we suspect he's not keeping any of the mitzvahs, because why would you keep, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in, you know, in our system, why would you keep any of the mitzvahs, right? And the Gemara in Chulin, Not him, Aleph, source 6, Amamar, Chamur, Avodah, Skachal, Shakala, Kofar, Ba, Kimod, Bechala, Torah, Kula. If you reject Avodah Zarah, then you can say we acknowledge the whole rest of the Torah. And again, Rashi, there in Chulin, Daf, Hamad, Aleph, source 7, Shakala, Kofar, Ba, quotes our psukim here in Bavid Parashat in Parashat Shlach. And so, we understand why the Yerushalmi in the Dorim, Paragim Alchates, source 8, says, Avodah Zarah, Kashem, Mikulam, again, quoting our pasuk. The bottom line is that the reference here is to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is considered the most heinous and the most awful, the most horrible of all the Averis, because, again, once you worship Avodah Zarah, then basically you've sort of opted out of the whole Torah system. That's the idea. With this backdrop in mind, we can now understand why Chazal were very concerned about anything that would lead people to idolatrous or following other religions. So we find the following statement in a Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah, source number 9, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Mishnah says, "Ve'elu dvarim shel oved kochavim." There are certain things which are manufactured by or produced by a goy, which are asurin. You're not allowed to have them. Ve'ein isurin isur hanah, but it's not isur hanah. You can sell it, you can get benefit from it, you just can't eat it. Okay, what are they? So one is cholav shechava oved kochavim ve'ein isur hanah, milk, which is milked or produced by under the supervision or by the work of a non-Jew, and there's no Jew around. So that's cholav stam, cholav akum. Okay, basically the concern there, it's not our topic tonight, the concern there is that, all mammals produce milk. Certain mammals are not kosher, right? Camels and horses, pigs, all they all produce milk. So how do I know when a guy serves me milk that it came from a cow? We don't know for sure. So therefore, you have to have what's called Chalav Yisrael, which means it was a Jew supervising. You know that it came from a kosher animal, it came from a cow. So now we know that some people in Chutzarts, in America, not all Chutzarts, have to know what the laws are in the different lands. Many of us rely on the fact that in America, in order to sell something as milk, it has to be cow milk by American law, the FDA law. If you can get milk from other animals, but it has to say so on the box. And the assumption, and the government inspects it. So the assumption is, and Moshe Feinstein writes, and Sipesa Frank wrote a similar to Yisrael, since the salesman, the company, is not going to want to lose their license by selling, mixing in camel milk, or they get caught, they lose their license, not worth it to them. So they're not going to do it. So it's like a Yisrael is watching. Okay, that's milk. That's not our issue. What is our issue? The next few, the hapas, bread, baked by a non-Jew, by shemen, oil. Is it referring to olive oil, shalahem? That was also outlawed. Then the Mishnah says something interesting. Rebbe Yu Bezdiru Hitiru HaShemen. Later on, Rebbe and his Bezdin allowed Shemen. It was undid the old Gzera. Okay? And the next thing is Vahashlokos. Shlokos means any cooked vegetables, cooked food. We call that Bishalakum, right? The cooked food. And various other things that the Mishnah lists. So that's the Mishnah of the Zara, Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Okay, first of all, Rashi in source 10 says Rebbe Yu Bezdiru Hitiru HaShemen. Rashi doesn't like that text because it wasn't Rebbe, but it was actually Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. There were two people with a similar name. One was the grandfather, one was the grandson. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, famous Rebbe, compiler of the Mishnah, had a descendant called, also named Yehuda. And he was also, Nasi means, modern Hebrew, Nasi means the president. And in biblically, in rabbinic Hebrew, it means the chief rabbi, the prince, the political and religious leader of the Jews. That was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. So he had a grandson who was also distinguished between the two. They called the second one Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. It was later. Okay, the time of the Amorim. So anyway, so Rashi says historically it wasn't Rebbe in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Rebbe and his Bezit undid the Gzera prohibiting Shemen. They released, they relaxed that, they repealed that Gzera. And Rashi, it wasn't Rebbe, it was Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. It was the grandson, as he says, points out later in the Gemara, it says it. And he explains a little bit of the family, who came from who, the son of Rebbe Gamaliel, whatever. Rashi gives you the historical background. Then the next Rashi is important, Vashlokos. That means Kol Dovah Shebishlovi Kochavim. Even if they're in kosher utensils, let's stress here that we're talking about bread or oil or food that is 100% kosher in terms of its ingredients. We're not worried that the bread has mixture additives in it. But that's not the concern here. Or the bishul akum, the concern is not that it's non-kosher, mixed in some non-kosher food. That's what we're talking about here. Or that it was used in kalim, vessels that were not. That's not the issue. And Rashi says the last three words of that Rashi, v'kulu mishum chasnos. All of this was outlawed because to prevent intermarriage. Okay, all this outlawed as a step to prevent intermarriage. How so? So that's a later Gemara in Avodah Zarah 11. Talmud Bavli, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bey, source 11. Amar Bale, Amar Avim Nosav, Mishmei Derav. Piton Vishamnon, the pas of akum oil, yena on their wine, Nosea and their daughters, kulon mishmona also dovarim. They are all among the 18 things. In the second Shabbos, in the first parak, there was a list of Gemara records at the one point, without the details, the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai got together and they promulgated certain decrees. There are 18 of them. They're called the Yurches Dover, the Shmona Esra, the Shmona Esra Dover, on different things. And that was like, you had an agreement, that this, they voted. So these are considered to be finite type of rabbinic zeres, and these are among them. But Osei and Mai, what about the daughters? So that's a law in Hilchus Nida, Tuma, not for us now. Gozu al piton mishum shamnon. They outlawed the bread of an akum, pas of an akum, pas, on account of their shemen. Like, what do you mean? My umma shemen, my umma the shemen pas. Why was one or the other? Ella, what it means is, al piton mishamnon mishum yenon, al yenon mishum nasev, al benosev mishum dabar acher. Dabar acher means avodah zarah, Rashi says. Sometimes they don't even say the words of avodah zarah. Or sometimes people refer to certain diseases, a cancer, say in Yiddish, yena, yena machla. That you know, you don't want to even name it. So sometimes the Gemara says dabar acher, something else, something, you know, that which cannot be mentioned, whatever. He who cannot be mentioned, you know. So this is that which cannot be mentioned, right? So that's the idea. Anyway, bottom line is the Gemara says, what's the idea? What's the logic behind it? The logic behind it is that although eating and drinking is a basic human need, and all creatures have to ingest food in order to survive. But among human beings, eating and drinking is also very much a social activity. People get together, you know, they go out to eat, they have a drink together, you know, this is... So the Chachamim were concerned that if Jews and non-Jews had too friendly an arrangement, they're going out to eat, they share barbecues, they go out to drink and eat together. So, you know, one thing leads to another, and this guy could go over, and he's got a daughter, and, you know, one thing can lead to another, and then, or he can influence you to come to his church, and these kinds of things. So that's what the Chacham was concerned. Therefore, they wanted to set up some barriers, not eliminate contact altogether, but food... Anybody, I mean, some of you here certainly are more well aware than I am in terms of the business world. My wife always said when she would go, you know, my wife's in the medical field, a nurse, so, you know, she would go to conferences. The eating was a great divide. It was really at these conferences, you know, you had the experience. I mean, after this day's sessions are over, everyone goes out to eat. You can't go, you know, or you have to go and get a bowl of lettuce. You know, it's like, so again, I'm in the yeshiva, it's not a problem, but it's, so the Chazal understood that. So Chazal wanted to minimize it. Said bread, a Jew shouldn't partake of bread baked by a non-Jew or eat food cooked by a non-Jew. That'll build almost a certain bridge, I'm sorry, not a bridge, a certain barrier, a certain wall, preventing, you know, inappropriate conduct, which could possibly lead to avodah zarah. That's the basic idea of Pasakum. Now, Tosfos is bothered by an interesting question in 13, okay? It tells the Tirum Asim Ashlachos, that's Avodah Zarah Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Why do you have to have in the Mishnah two different decrees, one relating to pas and one relating to cooked items? The same basic idea. For example, on Hilchos Shabbos, there's a prohibition called Bishul, cooking on Shabbos. That includes baking. It's not two separate things. I mean, it's preparing food through heat. Right? There's not two different Malachos of Shabbos. In fact, on the list in the Mishnah, it's called Ofa. That's no, because the Mishnah list in the bread baking process to do with the pot. So number 11 on the list is Ofer. We refer to it colloquially as Bishul. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. So the Tosfos is wondering why does the Mishnah have to say, not only they prohibited the bread, they also prohibited the cooked meat. So it's the same thing. So Tosfos says, yeah, it's a historical issue. You're right. It's not really, it's about the same thing, but it's listed separately because the decree came in different stages. Omer ben Tam. First it was the rice, whatever. Shema gzera kadmonisi. They weren't necessarily all these decrees weren't. I'm sorry, no gzera pas. Ushlokos in yoni tavsho. Kadmash rach shmeitzer. Umitchilu gozu aleh mitam tanes matam chasnas. He said, bread, the Tosfos says, bread is a staple of life. Every meal, maybe not so much today anymore, but bread, every meal you had bread. And everything else was just like a dip or a spread or something else you ate together with the bread. So the Chachamim originally only decreed against pas akum. And because you couldn't really have a meal without bread, so that would do the job. Then the later stage, okay. So he says, pas. Pas. They didn't need to be goat because it wasn't a sign of any great friendship. You had some bread, but cook foods, fancy, nice, a good steak, a barbecue. That already is a sign of a friendship, camaraderie. So that's what Tosfos says that the that originally, okay, they only outlawed tavshil, bishalakum, some cooked food, nice, fancy cooked food. In fact, not for now, but one of the rules of bishalakum is it only applies to the type of food that's roi lalos al shulchan melachim. It's something you would serve at a nice dinner, you know, not a, you know, frozen hot dog or something, but you know, yeah, macaroni and cheese, something like that. But some of them would be at a nice state dinner, you know, with a royal table, fit for a king. So that was the original Xeris, says Tosis. But a bread that, and then later on, the days of Shaman Hill, goes because of Gavala Pas. Okay, they mentioned Pas also. I, the Mishnah lists Pas first in the order. It's like, okay, so I was not worried about that. It's but two separate things. That's, but really, it's the same Xeris. That's how Tosis says. Okay? Now, there is a Gemara. Another Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, that tells us the following din. Amar Ravina. Hilchasah, the halacha is, Har Rifta, the Shagar of the Kacham V'Ofa Yisrael. You have bread, which a Jew, I'm sorry, the Goy, lit up the fire, but the Jew baked it. Or, Inami Shagar Yisrael V'Ofa V'Kacham. The Jew lit up the fire, you know, kindled the fire, and the Goy baked it. Inami Shagar of the Kacham V'Ofa V'Kacham. The Goy lit up the fire, and the Goy also baked it. But the Yisrael had he stoked the coals. You know, he kept the fire going. Okay, a modern equivalent would be adjusted the knobs of the oven, turned the fire higher. You know, in all these cases, shapir dami, then it's okay. In other words, the Gemara is telling us that if a Jew had a hand in it, that's not called. You know, that means he wasn't invited over. He was part of the cooking party. He was part of the. In other words, it's not included in the gzera of pas akum. If a Jew had some kind of a hand in the procedure of the baking, okay? Rashi says 15 shagar overcome. He said the tana chatias gachelas mechamers alomotzi chomagam. Chatias means, you know, you have a coal, what they call embers or whatever, and you poke them so it makes the fire move. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to take a look now at the Ran. Ran on the Rif there in Avodah Zarah Yud Gimel Beis in the pages of the Rif. The Gemara says the Rif says there. The forish Gemara she isur shall pass mishum chasnas and shemen also the af shlachos pirish rash mishum chasnas. Vim tomar, so the Ran asked the same kashas Tosus asked. Im kein amai paginu, why make a separate, why does the Mishnah list off bread, bas pasakum and bishlakum as two separate decrees? The same thing, okay? Tomar masitim of pasus as betarti, harishtem mishum bishur, and that's when they're both the same thing, it's preparing food. They're both for the same reason, namely chasnas. So he answers like Tosfos, but interestingly, the opposite direction. Yesh lomar shtei gzeros havu. Again, historically, chronologically, there were two different gzeros. Tamidei shamah ha'gazol pitan. He says first the decree was against pas, and then later, at some later time, they added tab bishalakam also. The reverse, because maybe pas covered everything, and then they had to add bishal, you know, because then people maybe ate without bread or whatever. So again, it's a historical question. It's an open question. We don't know. But it's the same basic answer. Yeah. Right, but ordinarily, you're right. Because again, let's remember, they weren't trying to eliminate contact altogether. Ordinarily, when you have a dinner, you invite you to the cooking, you invite someone else over. He's not chipping in to the cooking. You know, it creates some distance. That's the idea. Again, it doesn't say. You know, I don't know. It's a good question. But at the end of the day, it creates a barrier. That's the idea, yeah.
It seems like it might be implementing sort of a control, meaning if we're... Right.
Well, the truth of the matter is that the post can use it like a hecker. It's an acknowledgement that, you know, we're not doing this as, you know, there's some acknowledgement we're not really allowed to do this. It's just, you know, it's a hecker. That's the idea, just to build in some kind of a distance.
But perhaps even more so when, for instance, if you're with non-Jews and you say, well, I don't eat this... They'll acknowledge it a little more when you're the person who.
Yeah. Okay. Could be.
More,
okay. It's a good question. Your question is understood. I mean, why don't they just say you can't eat together? You know, there are other ways to do it. But this is enough of a hecker to remind people, hey, don't get too close. That's the idea. All right. Now, but the Ran himself, he gives that. So basically, this answer is the same answer as Tosfos. It's just a question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. And which came first, the bread or the bishalakum. But then the Ran says something totally different, which is if we were to pass that came, which is really a minority view. So I think we're not, but it's with Nogela Maisa. Vili Nira, on the sixth line there. Or if we find the linear, the reason why they're two different things is because, not because chronologically the gzeiros happened two different times. It's because they're two different dinim. The dinim are not the same. The way the Ran says, the Ran is saying, no, by pas akum, if the pas is owned by a goy, even if a Jew bakes it, it's still going to be called pas akum. It's a matter of who owns the bread. Not so by bishul, but yes, by pas. So the Ran says the reason pas akum and bishul akum are listed in the Mishnah as two separate categories is because they're two separate dinim. Pas is not allowed, even if a Jew had a hand in it, it would still not be allowed. So the Ran is right away. But what about the Gemara? We saw the Gemara back in Source 14. There are three different things. You know, if a Jew did any one of them, I thought it's okay. Says the Ran, that's only talking about when it's Jewish-owned bread. But if the bread was owned by a guy, then it doesn't matter. The Jew baked the whole thing. It matters who owns it. Afilu nefes aydei saw asura umeshum hachi palginu tana betarti. That's why the author of the Mishnah listed as two separate things. You follow? So therefore, and that'll make it a more broader. That'll make it a broader thing. If the bread is owned by a Jew, and I'll tell you where this would come up. Halacha lemaisa. Let's say you have bread or dough that, like you have. What are those? Magic challah? It's called Kinneret challah. You know, you get these frozen challahs, the dough. It's just frozen dough. But let's say a guy, well, these are from kosher companies, a Jew did it, but let's say it's frozen dough, and you lit the fire and you baked it and so on and so forth. But if it belonged to a guy, if it was Fryhofer's brand challah, something like that, or Arnold's, whoever your company is, okay, Thomas's English challahs, okay, if they had it, so then that would be a problem. According to the others, that wouldn't be a problem. According to the other Rishonim, there wouldn't be a problem, because as long as the Jew had some rolls, good enough. But the Ran holds that pas akum is a problem, it's a matter of who owns it. So it's a different din.
So
that's what we're trying to say.
Did you just throw out everything? When you sold it.
What do you mean?
Did you just throw it out? Instead of selling it to non-Jews?
Yeah, that would be a problem. Yeah, that would be a problem. Yeah, I guess so. Okay? And then he adds at the end, he says a problematical Ravid. He said the Ravid had another distinction that by... The Ravid says that there's a different problem. You know, namely, maybe we're afraid that he's using kalim that has non-kosher absorption, but that's really questionable whether that's right. So, in any event, that's the sheet of the Ran. The Ran says at the very end there, that he quotes Reisi the Rambam Zal, that the Rambam mentions that Gemara that says, Paskins like that Gemara that says, as long as a Jew had his hand in the middle, that's good enough. And he does not say only if it was owned by a Jew as well. So the Rambam acknowledges the Rambam seems to reject his approach, and so do most of the Rishonim. That looks like the Rashbah. Rashbah wrote a very important halachic work, among his other works, the Chiddush Rashbah and the Tshuvas. It's a work called the Torah Habayis. Torah Habayis is when you study every day, it says the Torah Habayis is a basic. You know, it has all the laws of Tarovas and Basu B'cholov and Tfilas Kelev and all the and other all Issur V'Heter matters. So the Torah Habayis in the Bayis Gimel Shar Zion, Bayis Gimel says Daf Tzadi Gimel of the normal pagination, says Ule Inyan Pas Shal Yisrael. He says regarding Pas of Yisrael, we quote that Gemara: if a Jew has a hand in any one of the three stages, is good enough. Well, you can be medayik that he taka says only Pas Shal Yisrael. Maybe he means like the Ran that kula only applies. You know that a Jew had his hand in it only applies to his Jewish own mashma. That if it would be goyish owned bread, it wouldn't help. That would, if we had only the Taurus Habayis. But he wrote a sort of a side work. You know, the Taurus Habayis was written by the Rashbah. So one of his contemporaries was Aaron Alevi the Ra'or. So he wrote a critique. It's printed on the side called the Bedek Habayis. It's called Taurus Habayis. He called it the Bedek Habayis. The Rashbah wrote a response to answer his questions called Mishmeres Habayis, guarding the house. Okay, you know, clever names. But anyway, the Mishmeres Habayis in that same place by his Gimel Shar Zion. Over there, the Mishmeres Habayis writes, Lefecha kol shah, he says explicitly, don't make the diuk I just said. And the Ran says, but I don't believe it. Says the Rashbah, Lefecha kol shah, he says, Afilu pito shal nachri. He says explicitly there in 18, Afilu pito shal nachri, even if the bread was belonged to a Jew, to a guy, and as long as the Israel had their hand in it, it's okay. Okay? And therefore he says that. And and it quotes that Ravid as well. Look in the Tshuvas of the Rashbah. Again, Shalos Yisrael Rashbah Chelik Aleph Siman Reish Chaf Ches. he says explicitly on the line after he asked the question, he says, "Ein holchen b'pas achar ha'be'olim." We don't consider when assessing bread if it's subject to pasakum who owns it. That's what the Ran said. I don't go for that, he says. Elamisha also bo hamalachos. Who did the act of baking? Hamachlochos, hamachshirin, so so. That's the question. And therefore, you know, that's how he passes. And I said before, what's that? Like, any step, huh?
So even if it wasn't, like you brought up the pre-made, if a
goy,
made the
actually part of the baking process. Not what happened before. It means stoking the coals, turning on the fire, something. Not the earlier. You don't go back to harvesting the wheat, right? Then, you know, it means
the same thing to make something
bishul akum. Similar, right? Yes, yeah. Okay, now.
Every
has
a Jew baking
bread
when requiring it.
No, so not today. Not all pasi. It could, remember, we're talking, now since you asked the question, regular bread that you will get in a store that has the Hufke, the OU, unless it says Pas Yisrael, it's not Pas Yisrael, it's Pas Akum. We'll have to get to how in the world can we eat it, based on what we just said now. Let's see. But and Hanami, you're correct. All they're telling you there is that the ingredients are kosher. There's no lard mixed in. Okay? It was not mixed in with any, it wasn't cooked in an oven that they previously made pepperoni pizza or whatever. Okay? Now, one other point, the Rambam, Hilchos Macholos, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel. Hidlik Akum is Hatanar Bafa Yisrael. Osha Hidlik Yisrael Bafa Akum. Osha Hidlik Akum Bafa Akum. Bafa Yisrael V'Nier Ha'esh. He stirred the fire a little bit, Matt. Or whatever, anything that takes it out of Pas Akum. And again, the Rambam also does not say, like the Ran, that that's only if it's owned by a Jew. So that seems to be the consensus view. It doesn't make a difference who owns it. And the Tur Paskins and Hilchos is in Yoredeya, Sim Kuf Yud Beis. Pasha of the Giluim, Yesram Shaosum Chachamah, we say, come in a Torah, come on, Pas. Okay, there's nothing in the Torah about it. And again, all of these things he says, Kola Dorma Sumashum Chasnus, and so on. And the Beis Yosef, commenting on the Torah there in 22, Beis Yosef says, Ulin Yan Locha, Kaiman Shehar Rambam, Baharashbo, Maskimim, Shalola Chalik, Ben Pasha, Pasha Nochri, that's the din. The din is like the Rashba, like the Rambam, not like the Ran. It doesn't matter who owns it, and therefore the case of the frozen, if you had fry offers or Thomas has made frozen challah, and you baked it, you'd be allowed to eat it. Okay, not like the Ran. The Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, there on the tour on Os Aleph in 23, is not as convinced. Okay, he wonders, he says, I don't know, any of the Alama Pasuk Ram Rashba, below Pasuk Haran. Okay, I don't know why, and Rabbeinu, because the Tur also, okay, the Tur also says, if you look in 21, read it quickly, we go back, and I said, Kemo Pashal over Kochovim. He said it's owned by the Goy, so, you know, it's not so clear. But all right, so he passed back to Ram and Rashbo against the Ram and the Tur, the Darkei Moshe isn't so sure why. So we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch proper. Yoredeya Simon Kuf Yud Beis Seif Aleph 24. Asur Chachamim, again, it's all Midrabanan, let's make that clear. It's all Gzer Dabanan, because of Chasnas. Asur Chachamim, Lechol Pasho Amim of the Chomishum Chasnas. Now, he right away says, what if you have a situation where you have a non Jewish neighbor? There's no, he has no daughters. He's a priest. He's got no China. That's what's having children, right? So maybe it shouldn't apply in that case because the whole concern is chasnus. So there's no problem with chasnus either. Doesn't
maybe
matter.
Also is
well, it's step to avodah zarah. So that's what it says. Also, anyway, he says I feel about lechem just low plug. It's also anyway.
Up to this point, is
this the Markham together? We haven't mentioned. Hold that thought. The shach right here on the spot to Cotton Bays. What do we mean by oved kochavim? Ove Kochavim literally means the worshiper of stars. Okay, Ove Akum in the plural is Ove Kochavim Umazalos. He worships the stars and the constellations, whatever, an idolater. Sometimes it's called Ove Kochavim, sometimes Ove Zara, Ove Elilim, Ove Gilulim, all these different phrases. But what about a Muslim? What about somebody who so the Shach in here by us in Simon Kuf Yud Beis, which is Hilchot Pas Akum. Simon Beis says, look later in Kuf Chav Gimel and Kuf Chav Dalet. I did. So it says, in Kuf Chav Dalet Sif Zayin, Yesh Misha Omer, some hold, Shekom Mokum Shomu B'Yayin Shalom, talking there about wine of a non-Jew, Shumutu B'Anolos, Receive Ibn Eitzad Negiya, Shenogu B'Hanokhri, Kishohoy Anokhri, Oveid Kochavim. Some say it only applies to a Nokhri, who's Mamish Oveid Kochavim, Mamish an idolater. Okay? But if it's a different type, maybe the dinim are different. The shach over there, it's cotton yud bays, right? Oved kochavim she'eno oved avodas kochavim kagon yishmaelim. The Arabs, Yishmael, Muslims, Yishmaelim. Okay? So, but for this purpose, lemaisa, it doesn't matter. For the purpose of pas akum, akum is just a generic term for non-Jew. So it doesn't matter whether he's actual idolater or not. Okay? An interesting question raised by the Pisrei Tshuva, there in Yerodea, back in Simon Kuf Yud Beis, you've caught an aleph, what about what we call a Yisrael Mumar? A Jew, an apostate Jew. Okay? You have a Jew who doesn't keep any mitzvahs and so on and so forth. Okay, so if the concern is that you're going to serve, he may serve you non-kosher food, well, that's a concern. But if the concern, says the Pesach Tshuva, is chasnas, well, there's no issur to marry the daughter. The daughter could end up being a very fine Bala Tshuva. Okay, you know, so the Pesach Tshuva writes, I am the Sivet Tveres Moshe, because of the Pasha Mumar Shuri, the bread of a, because the reason doesn't apply. The Mishum Chasnas Leka, Dafa Mishachot Yisraelu, he's still a Jew. Umuta Lisa Bito. There's no issue to marry the daughter. I mean, you may not, you know, have the father-in-law relationship that you hope for, but the girl could be a wonderful girl because you come at you, you know, someone gets hold of her and makes a friend, so it could happen, right? So therefore, there's no issue in that sense. Now, Ad Kan in terms of the basic idea of Pas Hakum. However, there's a very, very curious discussion in the Gemara, Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vav Med Aleph, going over to Lamed Vav Med Beis. The Mishnah said, there also used to be a gzera against shemen. Now, shemen means olive oil, which was really a very, very basic food. We find in other gemaras that they would eat. People would put olive oil on their bread. They would use it as a spread. Also, cooking, I mean, in the pre-Teflon days, you needed oil, you know, to prevent things from sticking to your pot. So oil was used all the time. Olive oil was used all the time. It was really a very basic food. So, the Gemara says, 29, the Chiyosu of Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Matav offered Darish from Simulai, but it's even Shemen, Rabbi Huda, Beis Dino, Nimna, Lavi, Tiru. Rabbi Huda, and again, we saw already, does it mean Rabbi Huda, Nesiyah? It means Rabbi, whoever it means. But he repealed the decree. He repealed that decree. So the Gemara later on the page says, really? How can you do that? You're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Huda, Anasi, Hechi, Matzila, Mishra, Takanta, the Talmud, Shammai, and Hillel. This comes from Shammai and Hillel, the Gzer of Pasachum. Whether it came historically before Bishlakum came after, but Pasakum is from the Yud Ches Dover, from the 18 things promulgated by the Talmud of Beis Shammai Sol. How could this later Beis, what do you mean they repealed it? You can't do that. Okay, well, we think about repealing a lot of things today. You can't just repeal a Gzera Darbonim. It can't undo an earlier Bezin's decree unless it's clear that it's a greater Bezin, they have more people, whatever, they're almost impossible. Okay, so what's going on? V'od, and furthermore, these 18 things have an even more official or more finality to it. Tamir and Beishamay Sol agreed, that's it, it can't be undone forever. So what do you mean Rabbi Huda Anasi undid it? Okay? Shafil Yov Elio Bezdin Ein Shom Leo, and Avi comes back and listen to him on this one, right? So Avi Mishar Shematam, listen to this one. Holu Poshid Yisur of Yisrael. But Shemen lo poshat isura barov Yisrael. This decree about Shemen did not catch on, was not observed by the Jews. It was not kept. The Rabbanan made this rule, but that wasn't Beis Shammai Sol. But talking about oil now. The case of the oil, it was not, it was just not promulgated. It did not spread among the Jewish people. You know why? It was too hard. Because they made, listen to this. They made a decree, and it never was accepted. And he says, the Amr Shmuel Bar Abba Amr B'Yochanan, Yashu Rabbo Sein, listen to this, Ubadku Al Shemen, Shalom Pashad Yisubar O Yisrael. They saw that it didn't, that's what happened. The original generation, they made this decree, but the people weren't following it. And the rule is, again, it's only Rabbanon. The Samchu Rabbo Sein, Al Dibar Shimon Gal Yil, Al Dibar Lazar Betzor, Shalom, Ein Gozrin Gzeir, the Chachamim do not have the authority to make a decree that the Olam can't keep. That, you know, we're not talking about one or two people. As a rule, the people can't do it. It was too hard. And so therefore, the next generation didn't, not that they repealed it, they simply stopped it because it wasn't catching on. Okay, a rabbinic decree, it's not, you know, it has to catch on. People have to accept it. and they didn't accept it in this case. Don't rob my crop. I'm here at Tem Nerva. I'll see at Tem Koma Goy Kula. I'll quote the Pasuk. I'm on the base. There's a Pasuk from Malachi, from Aftar Shabbos Agoro. Ika Goy Kula, and the whole nation accepted in Ilolo. Now, this is itself a very, very broad subject. Okay?
Like the whole jet, like before Ezra came in, you like, everyone was off the derech. Like, you define whole Emmet.
Hold on a second. We're talking about rabbinic decrees here. Talking about Zayr de Rabbanan. I'm not talking about the Torah. It's not from the Torah. We're not talking about halacha. We're not even interpreting. Not even talking about rabbinic interpretations of laws in the Torah. We're talking about something which is completely a rabbinic decree. And if it doesn't catch on, if it's not accepted,
there's been throughout our history generations, entire generations that were like off
the derech. Because it caught on at one time. Then it was, but this never caught on is the point. It was never accepted. That's the difference. Not that years later, they never accepted it.
What? Aren't there things that we have that says, well, it's fasting before Tuesday?
Whatever, today...
It's too hard, you can't do it, so they don't...
Right, but again, it has to be... There are sometimes points we say, that's true. Yeah, we'll see also other areas of Allah where they were lenient. But again, remember talking about a pure Derabbanan, and not that it was accepted, never did it, and then years later it stopped being from. It was never caught on. That's the issue. Okay? It's a very interesting, it's a broad subject, but for right now we're going to accept that. So that's what it says about Shemen. So, now what about bread? So the Gemara actually is very cryptic, very interesting. Lamed Hamad Beis 32. The Gemara is actually quite, you know, is it possible to say the same thing by bread? Maybe Pasakum was also. Shemen Akum was just too much. The oil was such a staple, and when you lived, I guess, at that time, and the Romans, and, you know, they were monitoring the industry and so on, you just couldn't always get oil from a Jew, and it was such a basic need. So the Gemara has Pas. Let's listen to this one. Amar of Kanam of Yochanan. Pas, lo hukra bebezdin. Pas, they didn't allow. So now the Gemara says, one second. If Rabbi Yochanan has to come and tell us that Bezdin did not allow bread, what does that mean? Even somebody said that they did. Because you're coming to tell him, you know, Rabbi Yochanan's coming to make an announcement. By the way, they're not allowed to do it. Really? So, who would have thought we would? Evidently, there are people who thought we did. Thought they did. Miklal dikaman d'shari in. Yeah, there are some who did. Some who thought they repealed bread also. The chiasar of Dimi Omar, Pam Achas, listen to the story. Yotza Rebbe l'sadeh. Rebbe went out to the rural areas. Okay, the heavy oven kachav lefun of pas puri mafeisah. Somebody brought him pas puri, the type of oven. Oven baked bread. He brought him some fresh oven baked bread. And a saw's worth of dough, whatever. Amar Rebbe kamanoa pasu. How beautiful, how tasty, how wonderful this bread is. Ma ro'u chachamim lo'osu. Why did the chachamim answer it? The Gemara says, what do you mean, ma ro'ucha mishum chasas? We know why. That's not a secret. He knew the answer. He said, Ella, what he meant was, ma ro'ucha chamul osa basodeh. You know, he's out in this rural area. There's nobody there, no people there. It's not that you're going to have all these Jews and non-Jews getting together and then fraternizing. Nobody out in the boondocks. So he says, maybe it shouldn't apply, but they heard this story. You know what happens? People hear a story, they come jump to conclusions. Kisur in ha'am, hit the Rebbe ha'pas. Ah! When Rebbe made that say, they thought he allowed it. But Lohi, it's not true. Rebbe Lohi, there's a pas, he didn't. Okay? In other words, sometimes we've mentioned this many times in the past. People see Gedolim behave a certain way or say a certain thing, so they jump to conclusions without knowing all the Matthias. Right? There's a famous Rabbi Moshe Feinstein story, probably apocryphal, whatever. You know, there was in the Bris, right? That it was two different types of Chalav Yisrael milk on a table from two different Hechsherim. And so he was sitting at the Bris, and he picked up one bottle and he put it down. And he went and grabbed the other bottle and poured his milk into his cup and said, he must not like this hashgacha. Then they checked that later. It turned out that carton was empty. That's all he picked up and put it down. He got the other one. So you have to know all the facts before jumping to conclusions as to why, and sometimes lumdus associated with this story. I heard from Shechter that the Rebbe Soloveitchik, we say on a fast day at Mincha, we say Sim Shalom instead of Shalom Rav. Right? The fast doesn't say it. And why? So, because it's connected to Birchas Kohanim. Normally, we don't have Birchas Kohanim and Mincha, but not fast day. We do a Birchas Kohanim and Mincha because Birchas Kohanim and fast day. We say Elokeinu Elokeinu Baruch Hashem Baruch Shleishes. We don't have Duchening, but we say the Elokeinu Elokeinu Baseinu. So you say Sim Shalom. Also, it says Torah Chaim. So we lay in the fast at Mincha. So some people say Sim Shalom with Shabbos Mincha also because it's Torah Chaim. Whatever. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he had Yartzeit, his wife, his mother, his father, so he would learn all day in the basement, in his shiur room. He would say shiur the whole day. He would go through a mishnayos with the names and so on. And guys came and left all day. You know, the guys came for the shiur, and then they would go to general studies class and come back later. He'd sit the whole day till it was time for mincha. Then he'd daven because he fasted all day. He said, "Sure." And they went daven mincha. This I remember even, but the story I didn't see. But so the Rav daven for Yomid, and he said Sim Shalom in the Shemoneh Esrei. So the guy said, "Oh, so he must hold." He say Sim Shalom not only on a public tainus, a tainus tibur, but even a private tainus, because many people fast. He was fasting on the day of the Yartzeit. Many people fast on the day of Yartzeit. So Shulchan Aruch like that. So that they came to the conclusion. Until Shatari pointed out the Rav Davin the Nusach Agora, he says Sim Shalom Mincha every day. He says Sim Shalom Ma'ariv. So you can write that. He says Sim Shalom Ma'ariv. It was an interesting long list, but so you have to know. So that's what happened with Rav Kahana. Weren't clear what he said. And then, of course, whenever a Jew tells one Jew tells another Jew a story, like I said, no, that's not what happened. Here's what happened. I remember the story. So that's what it says. Rav Yosef, Itamer of Shmuel Bar Yehuda Bar, Lo Kachay Amai, said that wasn't the story. You got the story wrong. Right? Always the other guy tells you, you didn't hear that. Here's the story. What happened was, Pam Achaz, Holach Rebbe Levachom Echad Rav Pas Dachuk Talmidim. He saw that there was not enough bread in the town for the Talmidim learning there. So he said, Amar Rebbe, ain't kan palter? Palter is a baker. Isn't there a baker in town? Why is there no bread here? No bakers in town? Isn't there a baker here? Kasur Amar palter over kacham. Oh, he must be allowing bread baked by a non-Jewish baker. Now, what's the difference between a baker and a private person? So we could say very well. When I have a neighbor who's a guy, he invites me over for a barbecue, so he's making the bread directly for me. But a palter, a baker, he's baking commercially. That's his business. He's he doesn't care what comes into the store. It's not gonna lead to chaslas. When it's a prime, that answers your question. When it's a pas bala bias, that's our concern. That somebody's gonna invite you over and then you develop a friendship. But a palter, pas palter, and especially today, you go and you buy bread. Address your question before that. You go buy bread. So it was baked in Chicago or somewhere. Who knows where it's baked? The baker doesn't know you. You don't know him. You'll never see each other, right? So that's called pas palter. Right, it's bread baked by a non-Jew, but it was baked commercially. It wasn't baked specifically. So that's the Gemara thought, maybe Rebbe allowed it. And no, he didn't mean that either. Lo Amar Palta Yisrael. So now the Gemara, Amar Chelba, Filam Anar Palta Chavla Amar El Deleka Palta Yisrael. And even though those who say that he allowed Pas Palter, the Goyisha bread, by a baker commercially baked, but that's only if the Leka Palta Yisrael, there's no Jew around who's in the baking business. Okay, I'm welcome to Ika Palta Yisrael, but if there's Jewish baked bread around, no. And Rabbi Yochanan said, there's a difference between if you're in the Sodeh, if you're out in a rural area where there's less chance of social interaction, or whether in a city, okay? So anyway, and then the Gemara says that Ivo was one of the Tanoim. I think the Gemara else was Ivo was the father of Rav, no? Okay, the Rav and Shmuel Rav. So Ivo Hamanachas also pass Abay Mitzori. He would eat bread out near the rural area. Amu Rav, Lo Tishtoi, Mahade Ivo, the Kachal Achmadach Aramo. He's eating. Not allowed to do that. Anyway, that Gemara, it's a little unclear, as I'm trying to get at. So is the Gemara saying at the end, well, what's the Maskana? We have two different versions of what Rebbe did, what he said, and what did he mean. Okay, so it's unclear a little bit from the Gemara. Did he mean to say that while out in the field, in a rural area, it's okay, but not in the city? Did he mean to say Pas Palta is automatically okay, as long as it's not personally baked, it's commercially baked, okay? Or no, only if Pas Yisrael is not available. It's very unclear from the Gemara. Okay, so Tosas, there in Avodah Zarah, surprise, surprise, Lamed Hamed Beis, 34, Tosas says, Miklal de Ika Man de Shari, Midama Pasar de Bez, and Miklal de Boy Ha Vishari, some do allow it. Alma, Lo Pasar Isuro. Maybe this is like the Shemin, that the decree was repealed, or it was never accepted. Umikan Samchu Atar, says Tosas. Based on this, we rely nowadays, the days of Tosas, Lecho paso over kachamim. We eat goyish baked bread. The days of the toast is saying we eat bread baked by non-Jews. Kevan shalom pasha tisur b'chol yisrael because it was not accepted. Okay, that's what Tosa seems to say. That's what Tosa. B'yesh lismach divur shemgal divur lezvet tzarik tami ain gozin gzerot tivur elam kan rovet tivur dechalamibo. Okay, so therefore, according to Tosa, they're pretty firm. Okay, according to Tosa, they ate the pasha. Now, to compound things even further, is right, that was last week, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, you got to take the bad with the good. But anyway, good with the bad, whichever way you look at it. But there's also Yushalmi in Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis Halacha Ches. Tosas quotes that. Tosas quoted that Yushalmi. Piton, Yaakov, Acham, Shemir, Yonasan, Pas, Mehilchos, Im, Umhi. Confusion. about it. Kach ani omer, mokom shepas Yisrael mitzuya, if pas Yisrael is available, v'dinu shetei pas nachar masur, then pas nachar should be not allowed. The imam will allow me to rule, but they mix things up and they said even that's allowed. You know, they ruled that even that's allowed. Oh, makom she'ein pasam mitzuya v'dinu shetei pas nachar muteres, asur. Again, a question, what did they do? Which way did they go? And so on. I'm not going to read the whole thing now because it's late, but the pay motion. So from the Yerushalmi also, it's left a little bit vague. As a result of this vagueness, you have a bunch of discussions in the Rishonim of what comes out halacha l'maaseh here. In other words, we allow pas palter, yes or no? Do we allow pas palter only if there's no pas Yisrael? Or even it? Do we allow it in the city or only out in the field? I mean, very unclear.
Only
when it takes place. We'll see that too. Very actually, you're left with it. The Rashba brings it up. Okay, what if there's pas Yisrael available? But first of all, there was it. What if there is pas Yisrael available? But the pas Akum is a much better baker. It tastes much better. So the Shulchan is allowed. I was wondering, and then I really didn't see. What about if it costs more? Is that enough to say? That does not seem to have been dealt with in the classical sources. Tzarchim. The Rosh in the Tshuva, Klal Yud Testament Chof, writes, what's the story of Pasakum? Dafka Shafu Vesa, Filo Kalam and Ashur. Does it apply only to bread baked in a house or even out in the market? Okay. And is it, what if a guy sent it to? Anyway, at the end of the day, the Rush is of the opinion that originally Pasakum was, like Bishakum, no matter what, no matter where it was, whose house it was in, doesn't matter. Raksha Bezin Osifa Lachzor Bachorvalo Osu El Besakusi. They only allowed it in the Jew's house. It would be allowed. Okay, again, the Rosh makes this distinction between Pas Palter and Pas Balabai. Is the Rosh Bo in his Chidushim Tavod Zar Lamed Hamid Beizil Maschal Merchelbo, and back in that Torah Sabayis by his Gimel Shar Zayin says more or less the same. You have time. You want to chazir this din? We can see it here. A question of which way the Gzeres go. All right. And at the end, he mentions if it tastes better. He also mentions what if it's an emergency? There's no other food. You're not going to starve, but you're not talking about pickle nefesh. But it means nothing else available. You're lenient over there too. All right, so that's the Rashba. I quoted the Ran on the Rif on the Zohar. Yudalim and Alvav Beis again. We're not going to read all these things inside. But basically, you have several different opinions. I think if there's no palter, no Jewish palter around, no Jewish baker around, so then everybody agrees that out in the field, it's mutter. That, I think, is consensus. And if there is a Jew around, everyone agrees that in the city, it's also. The question is the middle cases. There's no Jew around, but it's in the city. There is a Jew around, but it's out in the rural area. Okay? And we're distinguishing palter and Anyway, the Mordechai, in some tough Lamed there in Avodah Zarah, brings up from Inu Shmarya. Again, he says that we do find, someone was asking before, certain leniencies. Yes, like, for example, there's something called demai. Demai is produce from which we're not sure whether the correct tithes were taken. It's unclear to Suffolk, right? Now, so you're not allowed to eat demai. It's all mesechta called mesechta demai. Not allowed to eat demai. But yet, the Mishnah in demai, Paragim, Mishnah says what? Machilin esaniyim demai. Okay, that's Achsanya Demai. What's Achsanya? Rashi, the Perish HaMishnah, the Rambam, says over there, it's Orchid, it's guest. And the Rabbi Bartanura says it's Achsanya, the king's soldiers, or whatever else. Okay, but be that as it may, you see a kula by Demai. What do you mean, it should be also? The answer is the Chachamim weren't gozer in that situation. So you see that sometimes it can be, for poor poverty reason, be an exception. Okay, the Rosh in Parag Beis, let's assume Chav Zion. See, the Mordechai that I just met, the Mordechai said that in his community, it seems that it was never promulgated to begin with. So that's the question. Was it repealed or was it never catch on? But we see these possibilities that Pasachim can conceivably be relaxed. So let's move now to the Shulchan Aruch, 46. Shulchan Aruch is in Yardeya Sim Kuf Yud Beis, as we've been discussing, and it is in Sif Beis. Yesh Mekomos. Some people are makel to eat pas baked by a baker. Nachtom is a palter, a baker, meaning commercially baked. All right? Some people rely on that heter, says the Mechaber. B'makom she'ein sham nachtom Yisrael, but only if there's no kosher baker there. It's like a shas al chak. All right, then and the president adds, but for Yesh Omrim, they're still sorry. That's exactly what we saw. The Rishonim are trying to discuss from the Gemara. The Gemara is vague. Okay? And that was the Mordechai. He didn't say that. Right, he didn't say that. Avopasho Balabatim ain't shom mi shemorabol lahakil. Sheikar exemption chasnas. Again, it's a friendship. That's a guy's making it for you. If yachol pas balabatim, yovel lisalem, etc. Okay? So that's a concern. The Ravid makes that, brings that up. On the other hand, if it's Eino Ben Yomo, but let's assume he had a special baking oven just for now. Okay,
it's two separate issues. You have to look at both.
Right, you have to know both. Right. He's saying, I'll be pashas. It's an issue.
This has nothing to do with kashas. It's all nothing to do with
Correct. Okay. But now let's go to Sifhei. Okay, Sifhei. Oh, and by the way, he says it's not a matter of whether the guy's a professional baker or not. Okay, a professional baker who invites you to his house, wow, that's a bala bayis. So, you know, oh, I can eat it because he's a baker. That's not the issue. Okay, it's commercial, right. That's the issue. Right, exactly. Correct. Okay, that's where the Ramo ends. Chayn paltish also atzmon mikri bala bayis. Good. Sif hay in the end of 46. Yesh omrim. Shemish yesh b'yelav pas o sheyesh palta Yisrael. V'yesh palta o v'chom o se pas yotha menu. Better quality stuff. If you accept this heter. Alright? Now the Shach and Sivkot and Ches writes Eish Omrim, the Mordechai Kosa Talmud Fish also Makomas and Og had to hide him from Shomim Spashid, it's a Pasor Kom at all. Okay, so now the question that the Shach asks, so 1 second. If the Xera never spread there at all, so then it should even be allowed to eat Pas of a Balabais. Why only Pas Palter? If you're saying that the Xeri either was repealed or never spread there in the first place. So he says you have to say that part was accepted. No, the fact that Pas Yisrael, I'm sorry, Pas Balabais, that Isser was accepted. All right? So, The Bir Agro and Sivkot Zayin and Pichot and Sivkot Ches deal with a little bit with that issue, makes a distinction. But all right, let's move on. Clearly, this is somewhat subjective. It depends what the status is in your community. Are there Jewish bakers around? Is there, you know, concern of intermarriage? You know, there's a lot to some extent. So the Chochmas Adam lived in Vilna. Is in the Sharis of the Heter, the Chos called Samachay Osbeis of Beis, writes in 50. Kishagazu Chazal Gzeru Shal Pas Lo Nispashet Bechom Hakom Shesol Mipirat Chak Shechaye Adam Tolibo. Right? I mean, the people depend upon bread. That's the way it goes. Okay, it's such a need. All right? It's a staple of life. And you can't get away without it. So, V'chein yesh mekoma shemekilin liknos mipalta shal dvar mokum shein palti so. The ain't kir vadas kol kak. Kema shosik pum noso. The guy's doing his, he's not interested in getting you to marry his daughter. He's selling bread, you know, it's his job. Kein sos mechaber. Yesh mekilin liknos mi palter afal pish yesh gam kein pasio matzah et ramah. Avo kol bal nefesh roi lizar kevin sheesh pasio matzah imlo she yofim shir Yisrael. He quotes that Shach, he said, but if there's Jewish bread available, you really should not rely on the keter of pasach unless it's better quality.
We talked about the tank, the price,
that's also
so
a question.
In New York,
right.
Plenty of pasach.
Right, good question. How far do you have to put yourself out? Probably not too far. I think later on it says the
Amazon.
No, but later on in the Sif, I think they talk about a meal. I forgot already. They mentioned how far. Because we're true at the end of the Sif.
These guys were traveling through Europe. They'd stop at an inn.
Yeah.
Right? So they would have the beer.
Yeah.
And they would have
the bread.
Why isn't there a conversation here about the bread? The kashrus of the bread. It's sort of brushing it off.
What do you mean? The kashrus in the pot?
The oven was the same way they were having the mutton and whatever the...
Yeah, I mean, they were using... I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. What kind of ovens were they, though? Just a source of fire. It's a fireplace, probably. You know, it depends. It may depend on that, too. You know, it may depend on what kind of...
I didn't know what he put in.
You'd have to know.
Let's assume it was a flour and water. I think it's more likely that they put in shred of grease and that the oven had...
Blease.
Absorbed.
I don't know. Could go either way. Don't know. And the Chochmas Adam says that Pas Palta is in Vilna, they were makel about it. But the Aruch HaShulchan in Sinan Kuf Yud Beis Sif Yud Zayin he says, where he lived in Navaradok, okay, he was Rav Navaradok, he summarizes, let's read it inside, says some Kufir Beis if you're Zion. He says, Hine Rabbeinu Aramo, Kosmos Yibbeis, Allah Hetesh, Opater, Zelashono, Yesh, Olam, Filo, Mokash, Pasha, Matsu, Shari. Vizel, Kuli, Yo, Sigadola, the Hamasha, Filo, Kishapasha, Eno, Guru, Pitan, Mikom, Mokum, Shari. He says, it's about no matter what. It was not a matter of taste. But Sorak, Lama, Tom, the Sulay, Yesh, Olam, Elo, the Xeris, Apasha, on his Pato, Klaw, Yesh, Mikom, Shal, Kibla, and Yesh, Klaw, the Hain, Kosmos, the Achor, the Tashak, because the endless soul in Cain gone past by the bias mutter came and exerted on his passage from Klau. The MSH before him came with Kavanos de Azum. We come welcome Yosin here. The Raka Palter Koi will all pass by the bias. The Alpha Gav the Lord's passage. There is Azum. We come welcome pass by the bias. Is your Atzman. They didn't do it. Vafilo be Palter Yashli Zor. If there's a Palter around. Anyway, he says, Hine bin Medina Seno, where I live. He writes, Kulam Zihirim Tomid Zebechol Ashana, Bechol Inyan. Okay? We don't eat pas palta. We don't eat it all. We don't take advantage of any of these coolers. And he says, "V'chein nachon lasa in l'shanos." Okay, now the shach in Sukkotan Tes Kufiyot Beis mentions an interesting thing. So again, so the end of the day have to this day different practices. Some people to this day will only eat pas yisrael. Okay, there's some people who will eat pas palter, but only if there's not. You know, Jewish-owned bread. Yes, I'm not going to talk about what's included in the pas. Let's assume it's make hamotzi. The question about pas, about the kisne and the cookies and the donuts. And he says, maybe I'll talk about it another time because we're out of time. Cause I do want to mention one other important thing which the Shach alludes to. The Shach in Sukkot and Tes mentions about Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There is an interesting Yerushalmi in Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel 53. Rav Chiya Ruba Mafki L'Rav, Rav Chiya was uncle of Rav, he told him, it's proper to avoid eating foods that are tamei, even though it's not osur. Foods that are tamei, you can eat them, just not truma tamei, but regular chulin. But there were certain people who tried to make sure they were tar any time for all food. Okay, they were only eating chulin but tahara. So Chia told Rav, it's not a bad idea. But if not, if you can't keep that all year long, 7 days. Be careful, don't eat anything which was tummy. What 7 days are we talking about? So Kornate explained. The 7 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. When we speak, we assume the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah include the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the one day in Kippur. So really only 7 in between. So hold that part of his visit. That's the famous Moshe explains there in 455. He says, Shiva Yom Hashanah, Hena Yom Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. You have days in between Rosh Hashanah and your Kippur. So for the run, we'll wrap up, the run on the rift in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Beis and Beis and Beis the Rif, says, Mikan Samchu, based on this fact that Rav Chiya introduced a Chumri, he said it's a good idea to be Machra and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even if you can't keep that Chumra all year long. So the Ran says, Mikan Samchu, Ktsas Bnei Adam, Shalo Lecho Pasho Palter Akum Aseres Yom Shun Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Some people don't eat pas, even though all year long, I won't insist on pas Yisrael, but Aseres Yemei Tshuva, I only want to eat pas Yisrael. Okay.
Sounds like a cooler.
No, you're right. But it means it, based on this Yushalmi. Okay? The Rosh brings the Halacha as well in Perek Dalad. At the end of Perek Dalad, 70 quotes that same source. And indeed, it makes it to the Shulchan Aruch. Or Chaim, Sin, Tov, Reish, Gimel, Sif, Aleph, Af, Misha, Eno, Nizom, Mipasso, Kusim, Pasaris, Mechuba, Tarach, Lizar. It says Tarach, Lizar. So, there are many. Yeah, right. So that's what he says. The Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Aleph says, I feel pas palter goy any yachal lefos ba'atzmo. And he talks a little bit about pas akum and stirring the coals, whatever else. Stirring the coals takes it out of pas akum. We're telling about if it's real pas akum and anyone will rely on the heter pas palter, but he doesn't do it during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Aruch HaShulchan there in Tzimtof Rish Gimel Tzif Alvin Beis says that this is not a good example of a chumah because mikardin, which is consistently said before. So I just want to point out to you that there are some people. Now, what about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the day of Yom Kippur? The day of Yom Kippur, not eating anyway, so not a problem with pas palter. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, they say, because some people fast Rosh Hashanah, it's true. We went out that Rosh Hashanah was assumed because it was Yontif, they anyway ate only tahar. And that really segues into the Mishnah Berurah at the very end, who mentions that there are some people as well on Shabbos, besides the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, on Shabbos, they also only eat pas Yisrael. Not just on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Simon Reish Mem Beis, beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, Sivkot and Vav, Ayin b'achron, afilo anogin lechol pas paltos, enu b'chol, mikol mokom b'shabbos, yontif nochon li zoher, shalol lechol ki'im mipas yisom, mikovar shabbos v'yontif. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah says that the guy's got nothing else to eat, nothing else, you know, then he doesn't have to keep it. But that's the proper thing on Shabbos. And when I've run, if I skipped over, so we've down, this is done, we'll address the alumnus a question. Well, if you kept that on Shabbos, so I wonder how many days now are there, so to make sure there are 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, for sure. You kept your not eating. Shabbos, there's only 6 days you have to worry about it, not seven, right, if you think about it. So when Rambam says, no, what?
Because Shabbos is always.
So he says, no, he was talking about, he whoever authored that, that lived at the time of the Kiddush Al-Pir-Ir. So it was only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. No, there were only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. So one is, now you have Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, Shuvah, Yom Kippur. That's true, too. Yeah, that's true. I read a lot of wrong. But some people say every Shabbos. Some people are careful on Shabbos. I try to myself, huh? What's that? Yeah, you're not eating, but you can eat in the night or whatever. Get up early in the morning. But anyway, so that's an overview of some of the ideas of Pas Akum. Yeah.
What does that mean if maybe a couple of Shabbos? What?
No, because Pas Akum is a kula, yeah, and it's an acceptable kula, but on Shabbos you try and sharpen your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't rely on kulas. Even though it's a kula. It's a kula, it is a kula. But, you know, we try and be more macher. Okay. Yeah. We'll have a good Shabbos. What I said,
yeah.
Yes, I didn't print the. Yeah. I didn't print the.
People think, oh, I ate the. That's so many.